This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. First, we lost Luca. Now we're losing Mike.
What?
What are you doing?
I think it's a good question.
Now,
if you could, have one back.
Oh, that's a great question.
On March 1st, would it be
I want to change the segment. Here are your three options.
I don't know if there'd be one human, and I would disagree with that human if they chose me.
Would you rather Mike stays with the KNC Masterpiece?
Okay.
Luca is back with the Mavericks, and none of that trade ever happened. Or Micah stays with the Cowboys.
Oh, man.
Because apparently the Cowboys, even though Jerry Jones told us that they had had no discussions, there are multiple reporters, including, was it Rappaport or Schefter?
Yeah.
That Rappaported that they had had internal conversations.
Not that was that Pelissero they, and yeah.
Yeah, not that they were going to trade him, but like they just talked about it. It's like, hey, but if we did, what would that look like? So those are your three options.
But you also saw Jerry was shocked that the Cowboys weren't in this situation in the Super Bowl after they signed Dak to that number. That he said, I'm shocked that we're not here. So
like,
I don't know.
Do you follow football, man? What do you mean you're shocked?
Hey, man.
I'll pick Mike. I'll definitely pick Mike in this situation.
I mean, so far
I'm going a good run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's 2-0 on YouTube. Me versus Luca. Uh-huh. So that's two bad votes.
Oh man.
Thank you for choosing me.
Luca easily. Mike who? However, all the rest of it. Oh yeah, from the 469. Sorry, Mike. Pack your stuff. I want Luca back. From the 817, Luca, because Mike won't win us a championship. However,
good call. He saw me pitch.
From the 972-214, another 214, the 972, another 214. Everybody else says Mike, including from the 903, said, give me some Mike.
All right.
Mike and the KC Masterpiece.
I mean, the thing is I did barely outlast Mike McCarthy. I tried to tell Spagnola, I tried to tell them all, stop calling him that. He came here after me, and he will leave here before me. And I got really nervous when I heard that Mike McCarthy might be coming back because I was like, he is going to outlast me. And ended up not.
Oh, my goodness.
Disgusting.
Oh, it is disgusting. So the reason why this comes up is just kind of what we were alluding to is obviously it's still very fresh in the minds of people, the Luka trade. People yes. still want to talk about it all of the time. But now the rumblings that maybe they would consider the discussion with Micah Parsons. And I know this works in tandem with Max Crosby and there being some uncertainty with his future with the Raiders. But we can stick with Micah for now. The difference, I think, with Micah and Luka, because they're both, like, I think we all agree, Micah and Luka, both elite players in their sport, among the best of the best at what they do.
Are the Cowboys, do they have less odds to win the Super Bowl this year than the Saints and Giants? And I think I saw that this morning. Wow. Their odds
surely
are
surely not the Giants, yeah, not right? The Giants.
I saw something this morning that said that. And you're not a ready-to-win-now team.
I agree.
Even if Jerry is surprised by that, he understands the reality of, did you see how much talent was wearing green last night?
Yeah.
Did you see what they put together via draft, using trades to get all these things in order to complete a fantastic roster and build throw a bunch of studs on the team? Even backups are studs. Like, that's where I look at that, and I see two different teams in this scenario when you're asking about the Mavs. They were ready to win right now.
See, and I agree with that, but I think we can all agree that the players are both at a super high level in their respective sports. But I do agree that, I mean, obviously the Mavs just came off the finals berth. Seems like they should be good to go. Whereas the Cowboys, there's no part of me, at least as the team is constructed now, though a lot can happen in, well, theoretical free agency, and then in the draft, and then in the real free agency we do leading up to training camp, that this team could look a lot different.
And after cuts have been
made. Yes, and after cuts have been made.
Once cuts have been made, then we can get our third free agency.
I'll just be shocked, as somebody just said on YouTube, trade Micah if you can get another Herschel Walker deal. Jerry doesn't do that. No matter how much Steven and Will and whoever, maybe even Shoddy, is having a discussion.
Is that the Randy Moss effect, that we've seen Jerry for over the years not do things that bit him in the butt before, and he's like, I don't want that to ever happen again. I don't want to trade away a great Micah and him go be great somewhere else and us never be able to capitalize on that.
I just think he looks at it this way. He looks at it as the financial part of it. He's not looking at the football part. And I'm not saying trading Micah's the right deal. But if you did get 5 first round draft picks in the Herschel Walker deal plus other assets, you have to trade them. But I don't think that deal is going to become available.
What if I made it as simple as this? And I don't know the team that might impact your thought one way or another. Some team offers you 2 first round picks for Micah Parsons.
I'm definitely having the conversation about it.
Okay.
And most likely, you know, there's a lot going on here. Which team? How much better are they going to be in these first round?
Like, fair.
I have to have that conversation, but I'm not in the camp where I say I just can't trade that person. There's nobody on my team that I'm looking at that I say I just can't trade. I have to find another CeeDee Lamb if I'm going to trade him.
Yeah.
So I have to be sure that I have an offensive option like that. He's probably the one that I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But everybody else is usually, hey, man, if you have the right offer for this, I could probably see moving on from it. Not just Anthony Davis and, Max Christie and a pick. That's not going to work for me. I want something. But a 2 first-round picks? That's a significant thing that I can do a lot with. Can I use money to go get a Myles Garrett and make a trade and still have first round picks so I can continue to fill out this roster with my draft? Then now I feel really good about what pressure I'm getting up front while also adding youth to this thing.
And to both of y'all's points, that's the complication with all of this. Inevitably.
But that doesn't mean I want to do it. I'm definitely listening.
For sure. Inevitably, it will probably, I guess I can't say inevitably, probably. It should lead to a step back. And that just seems to be something that the Cowboys are not interested in doing. Even if you think you can, you know, build it back and like be able to do things better, they're like, nah. CeeDee Lamb quote tweeted Dove Kleiman. And I was really hoping his quote tweet was, yo, is this a real person or is this a bot? But it wasn't. That's not what he said. Instead, he said, y'all aren't tired of this? Question mark. Every offseason, top of the charts, .. Let's just win ball games, and that's with 11. SMH, shaking my head. Which I get it. If you're CeeDee Lamb, it's the same thing. You just signed your extension. You know you're going to be here.
I want my teammate
Micah,
back.
Yeah, Micah is one of your best players. I do understand how it's counterintuitive to be like, hey, let's get rid of one of our best players. Eventually, it'll work out for us.
Mm-hmm. But he also understands that that's part of the owner. Even though I guess Stephen Jones said multiple times, we're not willing to do this, but that is part of what the owner allows to happen. He allows it to float and exist out there, very similar to Mike McCarthy had problems with his other assistant coaches because Jerry allowed that to happen. He allowed, hey, Sean Payton could be the coach. Dan Quinn could be the coach. He allows these things to percolate like that.
I guess just speaking on this topic, I don't like this, but maybe the best thing to do for the Cowboys is to not trade Micah, but I'm saying sign him, But you just know these 4 years, you dump all the money you can, as in, like, we're not renegotiating Dak's contract or moving money around in, if I have my years right, 2028 or 29. We literally want to be done with Dak, done with CeeDee, almost done with Micah. Like, we want to have $100 million, and we want to hopefully draft the next 4 years well. And at some point, we get our quarterback to lead us into the future. But when we have that quarterback, hopefully, leading the Cowboys into the future, we have, like the Washingtons, $82 million.
Yeah.
So we know he's good, and we have $82 million to add to this good team.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Cowboys, I don't think they just think that forward.
I don't.
They're just trying to make their, let's say, $100 million to $400 million a year off of jersey sales, popularity. I don't think they think at all about, we want the Washington situation.
Yeah.
We want, they just don't think like that.
I agree with you. I keep going back to, Steven at least said, hey, we're going to just have to at least take a look at the way we do our contracts, and maybe it's not the best idea to have so much money to so few players. Now, obviously, if you have what you think is a franchise quarterback, that can be tough to...
When you're not dealing with everybody else's reality.
Yeah, okay. and that can be tough to work around, but you're looking at... I mean, I guess you could get out of it in 2 years. That's going to be more complicated. But essentially... you could do it in 2 years. You've got Dak Prescott for two more years, at least, of the four-year deal. Then each year after that, it becomes easier to get out of that. You're going to have to eat some dead money if you bail before the end of the contract. But you're still looking at, realistically, two more years. And so when Jerry also comes out and says, I wouldn't have signed Dak if I didn't think we're win now. Like, first of all, what else is he going to say? Well, like, is he going to come out and be like, oh, what a stupid move that was? Like, that wouldn't make any sense. But let's take that statement at face value. Then, to Mike's point, why in the world do we think that the Cowboys would trade Micah Parsons if that's what he thinks? If you're a win now, it would be foolish to trade Micah Parsons because he's awesome.
And that has been a frustration for Cowboys fans. Mike, I know you can feel this way about it for a long time. Is they're always in win now. They never look at their team
that's
and go,
fair.
Are we actually in a window where we probably need to go ahead and reboot this thing?
I'm with you, except they don't go into win now mode.
Yes,
that's the tough thing. Yes, to your point, they're just like, well, let's just worry about this season and what we can do, but let's not possibly ruin two.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
...2028 right now, by trading our 2025 and 2028 first round pick to get these players that we know could maybe beat Philadelphia, possibly, or feel good about beating Washington. And it's just, it hurts because I know obviously I'm leaving, but it hurts that the Cowboys to me destroyed my football team. Not the players. The players are trying their best. I just don't believe, my opinion, I don't believe Jerry's trying anywhere close to his best. I believe he's really smart. I believe he's intentionally doing things wrong. Intentionally. And I believe that his sons follow, and Will McClay stays in the background going, hey, I just love this job and what it's about. I'm not going to disrupt this. And so that's what, this was hurts me the most as a lifelong Cowboys fan who cared so much about them that I've come to the conclusion the family that owns it does not care about winning. That is not a major priority. So why would it be a major priority in my life? I'm only speaking for myself, not for you, the listener, not for Kevin and Corey. Why would I make this a major priority in my life?
Yeah, it's tough to argue.
I like this arch idea, though, Kevin, for the future.
Okay.
That's something to hold on to.
I'm just saying.
You just mapped out a 2-year window.
If that is the route you're dead set on going,
just saying,
you're going to have to make some pretty drastic changes pretty quickly because you can get the money off the books eventually, but you're going to have to get bad enough to be able to be in position to potentially take. I'm not saying he will be, but I think a lot of people believe he'll, of course, be in the mix to be a number one pick in the future. And that's where I struggle. So the way I look at it, and I will tell you, this is just me. And Steven has told us they don't view it the way that I view it whatsoever. And that's fine. I at least appreciate. I know sometimes Steven speaks in vagaries and that kind of annoys people.
And he'll even tell you, and I do that on purpose.
Yes.
You know?
But like, he was very clear about how he and I'll just say me differ on the salary cap. For me, I'm thinking in the window of 2 to 3 years, Dak Prescott's deal, depending on how much dead money you want to eat, can come off the books. What can I do in that 2 to 3 years to build up assets, to get money off the books, so I can make a brand new run with a brand new quarterback at it? I don't think they view it that way at all. I think they view it the exact opposite. What can we do in these next 2 to 3 years to try to build a team that, you know, maybe they win, maybe they don't, but they're at least competitive, which is probably it makes sense to do that because you have Dak, you gave him all the money. But to me, I'm like, it's a mistake. And unfortunately, you can't go back on that mistake. And then your quarterback got hurt again. Mm-hmm. And it's going to slow you down even more.
It happened during the Romo.
Exactly.
Era.
It sucks. But you made that mistake. So now let's work a way out of it, even if it's 2 to 3 years away, instead of, well, let's push even more into fixing that mistake. It's like when you're in Vegas and you've lost a lot of money and you're like, you know what the best way to do is spend more money and gamble more and win it all back. Mm. That doesn't usually work.
You can give your wife to Robert Redford.
I guess that is another option for $1 million.
I'll tell you what, if the Packers hadn't won that day, you know, or maybe it was the Rams. One of those teams.
Always remember your $600 bet, or was it $300?
Oh, my gosh. It was over $600, yes, that I was going to, but I made the right bet that day.
That was the most nervous I've ever been for a game that I didn't have any money or rooting interest on.
I didn't have to give up my wife for anything.
Oh, well.
My wife is stupid.
But I love her.
No.
She's not stupid. She's really cool.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Really smart.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we didn't get a chance to really do this segment on Friday. The Cabo Platter, our Super Bowl snack redux edition. Give us a sports opinion then. What was the number one food you ate yesterday?
Ooh.
Next on The Fan.
Here's Mahomes. Four-man rush over the middle. And it's intercepted again! This time it's Zach Baud and the Eagles are set up inside the 10.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for Combo Platter. We kind of got into this a little bit on Friday, and then we had a plethora of unbelievable interviews. Jason Wirth, Ricky Williams, Billie Jean King, Cynthia Freeland, back to back to back to back. It was, oh yeah, and then Gojo.
Yeah, he was fantastic. We talked more about candy and ice cream with him than we did sports, and I'm okay with that.
True.
Yeah, he was great.
If we had to do it all over again, we'd never talk about the Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
It's going to win.
Everything we thought going into it.
Well, and that's why for this combo platter, I was going to say make it a Super Bowl opinion, but then I was like, no, let's not do that. Sports opinion. And then what was the best food that you ate yesterday from the 817? Sports opinion, AD will be back 3 weeks after the All-Star game. The Mavericks barely make the playoffs, but they end up running the table and winning it all. Food, this is a winner every time. Barbecue burn-ins. Burn-ins feel like they're almost always a winner.
It's like bacon.
They're so good.
It's delicious.
Yeah, just a little bit more to it.
It's a great point, Mike. That's the kind of thing that we're going to miss the most.
It's just like pancakes, except for, you know, it's steak.
Yeah.
I know other teams aren't hoping this, but not that I watched. But I'm sure Houston was like, we don't want to play that Maverick team in the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, and that was even without Derek Lively. So I get it. I get like the people who are like, I struggle with this. There are a few people who are like, this was a good trade. This is going to work out better. I struggle with that, but I can see if you watch the three quarters of basketball that if you're going to get for three quarters of basketball, or let's just combine the numbers.
Yeah.
If Max Christie and Anthony Davis for the next 2 years, let's say 26 and 27 or 25, 26, 27, they averaged a combined 45 points, 20 rebounds and 10 assists. That's a pretty good trade if you get that a combined number. Yeah. Let's just say 25 from AD and Ike, 20 from Max Christie. I do think these are extreme numbers, by the way. I don't think this is going to happen. But then you get, let's just say, 13 rebounds from Anthony Davis, 7 rebounds from Max Christie, and both of them average 5 assists. I think those are numbers that aren't going to happen. But if you got 45, 20, and 10 from those two guys, I can see where you'd go, hey, that was a pretty good trade. It's just a finite amount of time you have with Anthony Davis.
No, I agree with you there. From the 817, another going back to basketball, Luka will win a championship before the Mavericks. Look, at this moment, that feels kind of hard to argue against, except for I'm really curious what the hell they're going to do in their front court, the Lakers, that is, especially since the Mark Williams deal didn't
You tell Luka to put on 10 more pounds and now he's Jokic.
That's sweet.
Huh? What do you think?
And they said the best food they had from the Super Bowl was wings, mango habanero, and hot honey. Now, somebody up here is reheating wings for their lunch. Why? What's the science behind?
You gotta have an air fryer.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that the only way to make the fries work after the fact? Because if you microwave the fries after the fact,
they're soggy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Air fryer. I guess last year now, Adrian got it and I've fallen in love with it. It's fantastic. We use it make cookies in it. It's fantastic.
Ooh.
Yeah. But reheating pizza, it gives it the crispiness. It heats it the right way. It's perfect, man. So that's the way to do it. And wings are when they're reheated in the air fryer. That's the way to save them.
I don't think wings in the microwave are too bad.
Well, but they get soggy.
You've never had wings in the air fryer, obviously. Yeah,
maybe.
You lose the crispiness of them. So now it's just all mushy chicken.
Interesting. I'm curious if everybody likes the crispiness of the wing. I don't
know. Text in.
You don't have, I mean, you can if you want.
Sports opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question real quick, actually, regarding the whole, who has more say with the Lakers right now, Luka or LeBron?
I still think it's LeBron at this precise moment. I don't know how long that's going to last.
I think it's going to change really quick. I'm with Kevin. I think it's going to change really quick because there's no building around LeBron.
Yeah.
He's still great. I'm not saying he's not great. He's just, his career is literally a day to 2 years of being over somewhere in that range.
A day to 2 years.
Like, he could say, hey, I got my son to the NBA somewhat, like, you guys know. I'm done. Or he plays two more years as, I guess, the sidekick to Luka.
Yeah.
Sports opinion, the best part of winning the championship is hanging out with the trophy by yourself for a little bit. Oh. Have you seen the picture of Jalen Hurts sitting in the hallway with a cigar and the trophy sitting next to him? He's just sitting on the floor.
I have not.
And then there, you know, you go back and look, all the best photos are of the great player holding the trophy by themselves.
Yeah.
Kobe, Jordan. We go back and look at Dirk with it. Even Tyson Chandler. Like, all those great moments. It's that moment where you've won the championship. You did everything that you set out to do when you started as a kid playing the game. And then you finally get to that point. You got to do it again next year. Nobody's happy next year, right? Like, that's done with now. You want it. Now you got to move on. But you get that opportunity just to kind of take the deep breath, the sigh of relief. It's done with. And you're mine. And I get to have you around all the time. I love that part.
Food.
We did have a little Smokies, thanks to whoever texted that in the other day.
Yes.
And they were great. I made a beer cheese queso, and it was fine.
Oh.
At the end of the night, however, and Mike, you can't get this because there's no HEB around you. Adrian, we started shopping at HEB for some reason. I don't know.
Because they're great.
And she picked up cheese puffs that are creamy dill pickle flavored cheese puffs.
Sounds weird.
These are awesome. The entire house is like, hold on, what? I love pickles. So that's another thing too. I'm a huge pickle fan. Weird. But I love.
Remember when your pickle leaked up here?
We have to find that audio because that was a great moment.
If you thought vacation Mike was one thing, I'm leaving the job Mike is a whole
just
different
wait till
level.
That turns on. So that was, pickle cheese puffs ended up ruling the night at the very end of the game.
Okay. Interesting.
The little Smokies were very good.
From the 210 Sports Opinion, Patrick Dumont is going to dig himself an even deeper hole after what got said over the weekend. And then they said jalapeno poppers were the number one thing they had in their Super Bowl spread yesterday.
When you say jalapeno poppers, I'm always that's the fried ones, right?
I'm not assuming
the bacon wrap.
You cut your jalapeno in half, you put in cheese, then you put it in egg wash, breadcrumbs, and you fry it up.
That's popper.
That's a jalapeno popper to me.
Is the bacon wrapped jalapeno? Is that just bacon wrapped jalapeno is what we call it? All right, then. I just wanted to confirm.
I mean, I guess you could stuff the jalapeno with something different than cheese, but I feel like a jalapeno popper, you're kind of like a cream cheese cheddar mix.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, and then it's fried up. I mean, that's how I've always, if you're getting a jalapeno popper at, I don't know, Chili's or Applebee's or something, that's what I'm expecting.
Oh, well, I get why you point to me. I like both of those places.
You like Applebee's.
From the 940.
I like Chili's.
From the 940 Sports Opinion, last night was the start of a dynasty for Philadelphia.
Let's go, huh?
No!
How many times can you spell it?
No. And the best food, no.
I don't honestly mind. Yeah. I'd mess that up.
Go ahead. Spell it.
P-H-I-L-A-D-E-L-P-H-I-A.
Woo! He did it. Philadelphia!
Yeah.
That's a long one.
Look at that.
It is. And then the best food they had yesterday was the steak fajita nachos that his wife made.
All right, can I ask you a stupid question?
Nachos are great.
Never stopped you before.
Thank you. Do you think the Eagles get to 5 Super Bowls before the Cowboys get to 6?
Yes. I mean,
I know that's a long period of time to win 3 more Super Bowls before the Cowboys win 1.
Howie Roseman is fantastic at what he's doing right now, and he is completely, let me build a roster.
If they do win one of the next 2 years and they're at 3, it becomes more realistic that Philadelphia, the way that they're run, the way that they're built, they would have a chance. Maybe they won with Nick Foles.
They
drafted a second round quarterback who everybody had questions about, right? Can he really be a starting quarterback? I will say I was wrong. Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback. I was totally wrong about him out of the draft. I messed that one up, but I mess up a lot. I thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be awesome. Look how that's turning out.
As far as Jalen Hurts goes, he did a fantastic job of working within his group. He has a talent, the heaviest, biggest offensive line, one of the top 2 running backs in the league, a number 1 overall defense. That team, if it lost, that would have been a travesty for being able to say, we built the best team and it wasn't good enough.
I mean, not that this is necessary, but I believe since the last time the Cowboys went to an NFC championship game, the Eagles have made 8 NFC championship games, 4 Super Bowls, and won 2 of them.
Great, Kevin. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Well, they're
so maybe. I mean, besides, you might be right.
Besides the popular, I mean, think about this. I was thinking about this too last night in the car getting my kid from his girlfriend's house. 12-5, 12-5, 12-5. That's the greatest Cowboys run in the last 30 years. I guess you'll say 29. You look at 91 through, I'll add 96 because they won a playoff game and then lost in Carolina to go to the NFC championship game. From 1996 on, not this year, but the last 3 years, that's the best Cowboys run in approximately 30 years. And it doesn't even come, there's not even another point in time that comes close with that 3-year run. You won 1 playoff game against an 8-9 team. That was your 1 win was against a below 500 team, if I remember Tampa's record right.
I think
it might have been
9-8,
but that was it. That's the best run in a 30-year time, and you compare that to Philadelphia, and you're like, when will Cowboy fans get to the point when they're like, we're just hoping for 12-5 3 years in a row? Is it 10 years from now where they're just like, we don't even care about winning in the playoffs. We don't care about championships. We just want to get back to those Dak years where we were going 12-5 and getting hammered by the 49ers or the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I hate your question because I don't know if I know the answer. I want to say the Cowboys, but there is literally no evidence to push it in that direction. I'm not saying it's going to be a dynasty.
One is a lot easier to get than 3 more.
And I'm not saying it's going to be a dynasty, but this does feel like this Philadelphia team is going to be around for a while to reckon with.
Well, and it doesn't look like the NFC has a lot of up-and-coming teams. Maybe Washington, but they've been bad for 3 decades. They just finally got good.
Detroit's
in a weird place. I think they can be good. San Francisco looks like they're in a weird place
now. Yeah, they might reboot.
So
this person from the 214, I hear you. They said they were glad that the Eagles won to show Jerry that he is an idiot. I don't think they learned the lessons like that. It was the same thing we talked about. Washington made the NFC championship game. So now the Cowboys have the longest streak. And I hear you. I agree. As a lifelong Metroplex native who loves the Cowboys, I agree with you. I'm just telling you, I don't think that the Cowboys process lessons like that whatsoever.
Corey, let's just go over the history. 07 and 11, the Giants win the Super Bowl. The Giants beat you in the playoffs in yes. 7. That didn't change anything. And then Philadelphia wins in 17. Didn't change anything with the organization. The Eagles go back to the Super Bowl in 22. Doesn't change anything with the organization. This year, Philadelphia, Washington playing the NFC Championship game. Why is it going to, if over 30 years he ain't changing, why would this one, when he's closer to death than life, why would it change him now? He doesn't have time for a bad time. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have time to lose. He doesn't have time to deal with challenges, adversity, change. He wants everything to stay the same, and then he'll let his kids deal with after life. He'll let them deal with however they want to do it, but he just wants to make money and have a good time the rest of his life.
Look, I don't have any football evidence to go with a counter argument on that. Alec, you have a sports opinion, and then the best thing you ate yesterday.
Sports opinion is nothing groundbreaking. I feel like other people have this same thought process. The Philadelphia Eagles are the single corniest team in the NFL, and I'm so tired of the bits that they run. You know, I'm dunking on the world champion, so yeah, we can make fun of that. But look, the head coach is a dork, and he's got the ego the size of his security guard, who has like become the de facto mascot of the team, and he's insufferable in his own right. The quarterback thinks he's Kobe with all the humble pie and all the, you know, posting up with the cigar in the locker room after the games and stuff. AJ Brown is the diva version of Albert Einstein, or he's trying to be. Devontae Smith, you're okay. You don't bother me. But outside of that, it's like they're so good too. Saquon Barkley, I just hate him because he's good. Zach Bond, I hate that he was a one-year free agent deal, and he was so good for them. I'm just tired of this team because it's a bit that they're so good and they know it, and they're so corny. They just enjoy it too much. I'm so tired of watching them. I really am. And guess what? You got to beat them if you're tired of it, and that's not going to happen anytime soon. So you just got to deal with it, but I'm still allowed to hate it. I don't like it.
Sirianni is the epitome of, yeah, we're corny, but everybody in this room believes.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the, hey, don't care about what anybody else outside of this thing says. I'm going to be who I am. They were discussing, is he a great coach this morning? And I was like, I mean, what he's done so far is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And it's pretty impressive.
And when they win, it is tough. And I know you referenced this, Alec. It is tough to dunk on that where you're like, he looks like an idiot. And you're like, yeah, this trophy looks pretty sweet, though. And like, that's annoying. That is even all the more annoying. All right. Best thing that you ate as the Super Bowl spread?
I was kind of disappointed, but it was redeemed. I woke up in the morning. My pops went to the donut shop. They were out of cronuts.
Oh.
That made me sad. But they had a Nutella donut that was amazing. Ooh. And it was like stuff. It was a regular donut. It wasn't like a stuffed donut. It was a regular shaped donut. But the middle of it was almost like sliced in half. And they put a layer of Nutella like a sandwich and let it kind of solidify. So it's got back together as one donut. And it was amazing. It was so good.
Dude, donuts.
I love donuts.
Donuts are so
They good. Are great. I wish they were healthy.
Yeah, me too.
Man, that's like so many other foods.
All foods.
Yeah.
I wish they were healthy.
Just everything you eat, you're just like, yeah, that's super healthy right there.
Eat broccoli and cauliflower the rest of your life. Well, that's a miserable life.
Tastes like cheesecake.
And like you wish on the McDonald's marquee it said, lose 3 pounds, get the Big Mac today.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Oh, I found some yogurt in our outdoor refrigerator that was over a year old.
Oh, dear God.
And I thought, that's a way to lose weight. I down this yogurt.
Oh, my God.
I everything evacuates your body. For 5 straight days.
I do not advise this.
I didn't do it. I threw
okay,
it.
Thank
but
goodness.
But I thought to myself, I mean, I will lose weight.
Yeah.
I will feel horrible for at least 48 hours. I don't know how long your body can take it. Like if you take down a year old yogurt.
I have no idea. I do not want that science experiment.
We didn't open up. It was like Chobani or whatever. We didn't open it up. There was four of them that were just in the back of the refrigerator as I was trying to clean out. And I was like, oh no, these have an expiration date of like early 2024.
Oh,
and, it was sealed. It was fine.
It didn't smell, but I was thinking to myself, if I ate this, how sick would I get and for how long?
Mm-hmm. And so the counterpoint was how much weight you would lose and would it be worth it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you ask Sue? Did you say, hey?
Yeah.
And what did she have a thought?
There's no way.
Like, go do it.
She didn't want to deal with your.
She's
mess.
Like, it wouldn't be good weight you were losing. You would just be like not
all your water,
not eating, and just losing like you know your fluids pretty much. What if your body took it and nothing happened? And you're like, you can eat yogurt that's a year old. And then, you found out there's no such thing as expired yogurt.
Every scientist out there, they'd be like, yeah, we were actually just telling you that it expired because we needed you to buy more yogurt.
Hold on. So big dairy science is what you're throwing out there is holding people down?
I believe it.
Have you ever smelled that milk when it gets even close to the expiration date?
Dude, it smells awful.
Kevin, there's only 12 more times I can take the load off for you.
Go ahead, Mike.
So first, my sports opinion, because I have to finish off this segment here. The Rangers will never lose another game again.
Wow!
As long as I'm here.
Oh, no.
If the score says the other team wins, it will be the umpire's fault or some random thing that nobody thinks about.
Man, those paychecks have started to cash already, haven't they?
And I will tell you that at no point ever did anybody have a bad game for the Rangers. How about that? I am famous.
Man, I'm going to spend these last 12 shows just finding all controversial things in the history of the Rangers to see if you're like, no. I think we did the right thing.
Umpires. Yeah. That's what right. I was going to say. Umpires messed it up. Okay. I can't believe it.
Dude, didn't Brady like start the game with, oh, terrible call by the umpires here. This is the worst.
So my food last night, I made the buffalo chicken dip. So that ended up being very good. But one of our friends brought some goat cheese, and then they brought some onion jam from Italy.
Gross.
And it was awesome on a cracker.
Onion jam. Like a sweet, like a bacon onion jam kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't think
What kind of cracker? I'm sorry, this is a relevant conversation.
Not a common cracker.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, Corey. We're going to have a common people cracker conversation.
It wasn't a Ritz or a Triscuit or a Wheat Thin. It wasn't one of those. But it was like a Wheat Thin. I would say it was like a Wheat Thin.
Are Triscuits for old people? Because my wife brought home...
You have to have a lot of saliva to eat Triscuits.
Yes, that's true. Or chase it down with a gallon of water.
How about that load?
Yeah. Throw it in a bowl of cereal.
What the hell?
Might as well just frost it and throw
the
cereal.
That's the name of the segment. You made t-shirts for us.
Take a load off.
Okay, well, I'm at least glad you don't know the name of your own segment. That oddly makes me feel better about the rest of the show. All right, back to you.
It's called I Say It. Mike says it.
I'll change it to that.
Right, so now that I'm leaving, Kevin, would you like for me to give all my political opinions first?
No, we have to stay.
Really?
You are leaving. We have to stay. I don't want you to burn all of our listenership away.
What if I give all of your and Corey's political opinions?
I would prefer if you did not give any political opinions.
What do you think, Alec?
I think it's a coin flip, Mike. I think it's a coin flip.
50-50.
How is that a coin flip?
Because either are fun.
Yeah, but Mike got told he didn't have to come to the meetings anymore. You still have to go to the meeting.
Oh, you don't have to go to our meeting today?
Maybe they're bringing in the new guy already.
I said that.
You said it. I didn't say it. Look how much you're giving up.
I have to go to a meeting, but he doesn't?
That's not fair.
What's this all about?
He's not going to be here.
Start the meeting off by complaining you're in the meeting. All right.
I can't believe I'm here for this crap right now.
So I'll tease something. The last guest it looks like I'll ever get on the station.
You're not going to try to get another guest last week? Okay, thanks, Mike.
I think it could be a good one. Head coach of the University of Texas baseball team. The person who said I would have never recruited you at Tulane if I would have known about your girlfriend. Jim Schlosselnagel will be on Wednesday at 11 a.m. How about that?
What? How did you say his last name?
Schlosselnagel.
Okay.
Schlosselnagel.
I call him Slosh.
Okay. He's beloved at Texas A&M.
No.
Well, I just think
he was.
They're playing in a tournament here coming up, a big college baseball tournament, and obviously we can ask him about it. We just have to be cordial about the whole thing and talk about maybe the differences at UT and what he's looking forward to and all kinds of stuff like that. But that'll be probably the last guest I get, unless something falls into my lap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Feel free to keep giving it your all these last couple weeks.
You're welcome.
Never mind.
That was a good answer, right? Mm-hmm. That's how if you want to answer nice, you just say you're welcome. That's what I teach my kids. So
not even thank you, just you're welcome.
I was wondering this. because football obviously is just supremely more popular than all sports, but let's just compare it to baseball. How much more popular is football, if you could put a percentage on it, because of the most casual fan or almost non-football fan will play season-long fantasy football with their friends?
Like 30%. I think that number is pretty 11%.
High. 11?
Yeah. Just anybody that I've ever played fantasy football with likes football.
Okay.
So I've never played with anybody that doesn't watch football like I do so far. I just haven't.
I guess yet. I've played in a league in Oak Cliff where I don't play in it anymore after 15 when Romo and Dez got hurt and they were both on my team. And I was like, I'm done with this.
Okay.
I didn't play daily when I had somebody picking the picks for me.
Underdog.
I just think to myself, baseball season is kicking off. Today is the first day teams are reporting to spring training. There's only one team today, I believe. And then it's all this week. All pitchers and catchers are reporting this week. And then at the end of the week or beginning of next week, it's full go. Everybody's in spring training. And I thought to myself, how many just casual baseball fans where you're just like, you know, I watch the Rangers maybe 15, 20 games a year.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of keep up with it a little bit, but not really. Because they played fantasy baseball the way that people play fantasy football.
Agreed.
I'm with you, Corey, that it kind of keeps people engaged with all the teams because they're like, crap, I got the third string wide receiver on Detroit. I'm going to care about Detroit games when they come on. And so I don't know how you do this, but I was thinking, gosh, how do you get people to play fantasy baseball who are really casual fans? And so they're having to pick starting players from non-Ranger teams or non-Ranger rival teams, picking up players from the National League, and all of a sudden they're like, well, I'm way more into baseball the way I'm way into football because I have a fantasy team, so I'm following daily lines.
Yeah, and that's the daily part of it. It becomes very difficult for people. Kevin, we talked about this when we were working at the newspaper together because our boss was in a fantasy baseball league.
Yes.
And we were like, I couldn't do it because I have to pay attention to my lineup on a daily basis. With the football, it's like, okay, I got a week to decide. You got all these things that you can kind of navigate, and it gives you time. You know, with baseball, it's like, oh, I got to do this. Or
feels like it takes over your life.
So I do have friends that play where you set your lineup on Monday.
And then it plays that way.
And it plays that whole week.
I've had that too. You can't,
now the problem is it goes into underdog where I think they do this. Like, unfortunately, if let's just say you have Corey Seager and he gets hurt Monday night in the game and he has to sit out five games, he's going to get 0 points at shortstop for the whole week for you. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to take a beating that week.
Right.
But that makes it easier to play.
Yeah.
I'll advocate for this. Hey, if you're a casual baseball fan, but you're like, man, I love the Rangers, won the World Series, I want to get into baseball a little bit more. Man, if you can get like seven other people with you to start an 8-man league, or an 8-person league, that's going to be easy for you because you're going to have a lot of stars on your team if there's only 8 teams.
Yeah.
And it'll keep you kind of more involved with the overall sport of it, and do it where you set a lineup on Sunday night or Monday before the, you always have to remember there's Monday day games, but I think it would keep you more involved with the sport throughout the season if you just started a league that way.
The last time I played fantasy baseball, I did have Mike Trout and Mookie Betts, and I had some stud pitcher too, and Nelson Cruz. When Nelson Cruz was like at his peak, I forgot my login for 2.5 months, and I ended up winning the league. I was in first place because I couldn't change anything. So that's the only thing I really know about playing it. It was a lot of fun though because I was winning.
I found myself, I got too obsessed with like, wait, Jimmy Rollins is going to do what? Like you just got on this level that it's not healthy. Now, Mike, just real quick, I'm hoping for people who missed it a couple hours ago, can you give people the bullet points of what's happening?
Yeah, so I will be leaving the fan. February 28th will be my last show in Surprise, Arizona. That last week, the KNC Masterpiece will be in Surprise, Arizona, covering the Texas Rangers and all the free agency of the NFL, the teams that sign NFL free agents. And we'll talk about what the Cowboys aren't doing. But that'll be it for me. So I'm taking the job with the Texas Rangers that was announced a few weeks ago with Rangers Sports Network, and I'll be doing approximately 100 games as the color analyst. with Dave Raymond. Jared Sandler will fill in that role when Dave needs a few games off. David Murphy will take about 40 to 50 games. I will take approximately 100 games. And because of that, it was going to be very tough for me to do both jobs and both, I'll say companies, 105.3 The Fan and the Texas Rangers, totally understood. And it's my dream job. In a way, I'm like, wow, I cannot believe, like, that is my title. That's what I'm doing. But yes, I will be leaving The Fan. So after today, I'll have 11 shows left here at The Fan. And then I guess I'll just reiterate that will be it for me. Like in October, I'm not coming back after the Rangers baseball season is over. As of like today, who knows what the future brings? I had no clue that this would be a job I would ever get.
But Rangers, that is not the plan.
But the plan is on February 28th, that will be my last day on 105.3 The Fan.
Now, speaking of plans, the Philadelphia Eagles are planning on having their victory parade on Friday. So, you know, get your horses some protection when fans go around punching them again.
Like a horse got in them?
No, I meant like a helmet, but...
Oh, that makes more sense than what I said.
Does that exist? Never mind. Don't answer that. Don't.
It's like this giant leather like a pouch.
Coming up next.
11 more times, Kevin.
It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Hey, I do have some hits and misses plus betting next in The Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.